This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's been a good long while since I've had car lust, but I had some the other day, and exactly how much of it kind of surprised me. The people at Tesla let me use their baseline Model S. It's technically called the 70D, which, full disclosure, I would totally think about buying if the sticker price wasn't $75,000 and I didn't have kids to put through college. But it does, and I do, so it was just fun to drive around for a couple of days before I sat down with Tesla CEO Elon Musk, which I did last week at the giant factory up in Fremont, California, near San Francisco, the production center for all those whiz-bang electric cars, including the Model S, and the new one that Musk rolled out at the end of last month, the Model X, the one with the funny doors. It is a giant place, that factory. People riding bikes to get around. Giant red robot arms welding and sparking all over the place.
And the robot arms come to life. Oh, man.
Wow.
A metal stamping machine the size of a four-story building.
It is kind of an assembly line wonderland in here.
It is straight up a heavy industrial operation for which expectations are high. So on today's installment of Conversations from the Corner Office, the guy in charge.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Elon Musk runs not only Tesla, but also, as you may know, the space exploration company SpaceX. Anyway, we sat down in a conference room just off the Tesla factory floor, where they make about 1,000 cars a week, by the way. A factory that at the beginning, Musk wasn't at all sure would happen.
5 years ago, I would have probably thought that we would have been here. But if you asked me at the beginning of Tesla, would I have thought that we'd be here, I would have said no. I thought we'd most likely not succeed. I thought we'd most likely die.
I'm pausing here just because that's an interesting thing for a guy running a big company like this to say.
Well, of course. I mean, the track record for car company startups is extremely poor. In fact, the only car companies in the U.S. that have not gone bankrupt are currently Ford and Tesla. Like GM and Chrysler went bankrupt.
Yeah, no, I was there. I remember that.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Alan Mulally, the guy who used to run Ford. I was talking to him 6 or 7 years ago, and I said, you know, what would you rather do? Would you rather be, and this was when the car industry was starting to slow down, I said, would you rather be profitable, or would you rather be the biggest car company in the world? And he said, profitable in a heartbeat. We'll sell off and we will downsize. The analogous question to you is, would you rather build an electric car that is going to change society, or would you rather build market share and be one of the big three automakers?
Well, like I said, we are trying to change the nature of transportation. So definitely scale matters, because more electric cars means more change in the way we transport people. I think in the case of Tesla, I would hopefully this is a false dichotomy, but. Mm-hmm. But I suppose I'd rather be a low profitability company that's larger than a small company that has higher percentage profitability. But I like I said, I think that's probably a false dichotomy. I think ultimately it can be a big company that is profitable, although obviously we're not profitable today.
So what is it about entrepreneurialism for you that gets, because clearly that's what's going on here, right?
I do think that creating a company to produce a product or service that people love is very rewarding, no question. You know, what I'm trying to do is, at a broader philosophical level, is I'm trying to minimize existential risk in the future. That's what I'm trying to do. Trying to make the future good, try to be as helpful as possible in that direction. Things have worked out a lot better than I expected. I sort of really expected things to not work out, actually. So.
Talk to me for a minute about failure, about the value that you put on it and how much of it you tolerate in this company.
Well, I think like most people, I don't like failure. But if you don't allow for some amount of failure, then it's very difficult to innovate. So, I do expect that we push hard to innovate, and therefore some amount of failure must be acceptable. Otherwise, you won't be able to, you know, explore new territory.
So, all right, so let me ask you a more specific question. So the Falcon Wing doors on the Model X, how many iterations, how many failures did you have in what is really a sort of a breakthrough kind of thing?
Yeah, quite a few failures, actually. We tried several iterations on the door. And I'll tell you what we're trying to achieve. Why did we make the door at all? What we're trying to achieve is, how do you directly access to the third row while still having child seats in the second row?
Right. It's all over.
You can't get to the third row. I experienced this personally when I got
to... You and me both, pal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think like a lot of parents have experienced this. And so then you're like, wow, I've got this big SUV, but I can't use a large portion of it. So in order to do that, you have to have a big opening. You can have a sliding door, and then you've got to support the sliding door with three pins.
With and hinges so, and all that stuff. Yeah,
yeah. And then the three pins, you know, that creates sort of like a gash along the side of the, yep, the car, which doesn't look good either. In order to have the car look good, you can't make it slide. So then you've got to open it in some way. But a traditional gullwing door only has one hinge, and so it opens up too far outward and too far up. And so the way that we solved this was by putting a second hinge, and thus calling it a gullwing door,
a falcon door
instead of a gullwing door, because it's got two independently actuating hinges.
Right.
And it opens up instead of outward.
Which part of your job do you enjoy more? Getting out there with the engineers and getting your hands dirty? And I know the answer to this question before I ask it. Or sitting in boring management meetings where you have to figure out the HR policy for this company. You default to engineering.
Engineering and design is, you know, actually engineering design is what I actually do spend most of my time on. I mean, right now about maybe 3% of my time is spent on things like, say, interviews and media, yeah, and that kind of thing. I think sometimes people think it's a lot more than that, but it's only, you know, maybe. Even less than 3%, probably, because it's less than a few hours per week.
This is so funny. I can see you actually doing the calculations now. I mean, you're more comfortable in that realm of quantified stuff.
I like engineering. I also like design aesthetics. Yeah. I really gets me fired up when somebody buys the car and they love it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been a big couple of weeks for you with the rollout of the Model X and the presentation. I wonder if you worry about this company and yourself being overexposed.
We are overexposed from time to time. That's not the reason I'm going. I'm going to be reducing my media activity to more like 1% instead of maybe 3 or 4%. But mostly because I need more time to focus on actually building the products.
Well, so I can't, you know, talking about you and having more time, I can't be the first one who's pointed out to you, look, Elon, you have really capable people working for you at SpaceX. You have really capable people working for you at Tesla. You don't have to be running both companies, man. Any thought of that?
Long term, I'm sure I won't be running either company because I'll be, you know, retired or dead or something, you know, so.
Yeah, but you're what, 45? You got a ways to go yet.
Yeah.
So here's a better question. What would it take for you to stop day-to-day management of either one of these companies? And I acknowledge that, you know, Tesla's publicly traded and you're talking to investors and all that stuff. And I get that. But, yeah, as he looks up at me with a wry smile. But
I expect to be with SpaceX and Tesla for as long into the future as I can imagine.
Last thing. You keep saying Tesla. The rest of us keep saying Tesla. Who's right?
Yeah, I think you're both right.
Oh. Elon Musk, thanks very much for your time.
All right.
You can see those robotic arms in action and the rest of the Tesla factory as well, and our entire interview with Elon Musk on our Corner Office podcast, including maybe his biggest gamble, building the world's biggest battery factory out in Nevada. It's all at marketplace.org or, of course, wherever you get your podcasts.